friends, each year, we keep aside 40 days out of 352 for fasting, for abstinence, for penance, and for prayer. And if you really think about it, it's really strange that an entire people, so that's about 1 billion people, more than 1 billion Catholics, that we would put ourselves through what I'm calling artificial hardships. Because the rest of the year, we are trying to make life easier. The rest of the year, we try to avoid hardships, inconveniences, and pain. It's better if we can do without these. And yet for 40 days, we freely and willfully subject ourselves to our Lenten observances, our penance, our fasting, our prayer. And why? Why are we putting ourselves through these hardships? Because that's what we've done since we were children? Because it is tradition? Or is it guilt? Why? Why are we doing this? Is there a deeper meaning to our personal Lenten observances? Perhaps the contrast between the first reading and the gospel reading today can help us enter deeply into the meaning of Lent and everything Lent stands for. So the first reading, it describes the scene of two people, it's actually a community, two people, in a garden. In contrast to one solitary man, not in a garden, but in a desert. I want to use the contrast between these two readings to draw out practical implications for us for Lent. And then I want to at least share with you three. First of all, the garden versus the desert. The first man and woman were in a garden. And the garden symbolizes life. It symbolizes rejuvenation. It symbolizes relaxation. It symbolizes rest. In fact, it's God who created this garden. And at the end of God creating this garden, God saw that it was good. And so God put human beings in the garden because God wanted them to be happy. Really, in spite of what Lent stands for, what God really wants from us is to be happy. And it should make us smile. That's like any parent who wants their child to be happy. God wants us to be happy. Now Jesus, in contrast, was in a desert. And in Christian spirituality, the desert stands for numerous things. In the book of Exodus, it stands as a symbol of punishment. The people of Israel, because they were disobedient and because they were stiff-necked people, because they were fiercely independent, the 40 years becomes a punishment before they enter the promised land. But that's not all the desert symbolizes. The desert also is a place of solitariness. It's a place of hope. The desert is where people retreated to be alone with God. It's actually a place of intimacy with God. Jesus enters not a garden, but Jesus enters a desert. And he entered the desert for two reasons. First, Jesus entered the desert because Jesus wanted to enter the totality of human experience, human existence. He must be tempted like you and I are. Jesus needed to know the human struggle. The very temptation that man and woman succumb to, Jesus must experience the same. But second, he entered the desert to overcome the very cause of human sin and suffering. That's the story of the first reading. Where they failed, Jesus must succeed. Jesus must regain that very humanity for the sake of the human race which the first woman and man surrendered. So what does this mean for us? What's the practical implication from the contrast of the desert and the garden? I think the practical implication is that Lent is a time that we remind ourselves that we came from the garden and that we are heading to the garden. It reminds us that we are on this journey. This life is actually our time in the desert. There are good times we have. We try to be happy even in the desert. But this is a preparation for accomplishing what Jesus has already accomplished for us. The garden. One day with Jesus, creation will be as good as it was when God first created the world. One day we will once more be in the image in which God created us, the very image that Adam and Eve surrendered. One day we will be without sin and suffering. So as we enter the 40 days of Lent, let us remind ourselves of our origin. Where are we coming from? From the garden. And our destiny, where are we headed? We are headed to the garden. May our Lenten observances not just be something flimsy that we do. May it connect us to eternity. These 40 days connect us to eternity. Secondly, a community versus being alone. So I'm calling it kind of solidarity in the desert. So the first man and woman were together and they were in a land of plenty. God had given them every tree bearing fruit and all the animals that were there for food. They had no shortage. The only tree that God said to them, do not partake of, was shown to them. Everything else was available to them. Now the desert, in contrast, symbolizes barrenness. Jesus entered the desert to experience the hunger of humanity, both body and soul. Jesus entered the desert in solidarity with you and I, so that Jesus can feel our hunger, both body and soul. Jesus' fasting will ultimately lead us to the Eucharistic table. If Jesus hadn't fasted, if Jesus hadn't given his life for our salvation, this Eucharistic table wouldn't exist. So Jesus' fasting leads us to our feasting. Jesus' fasting nourishes us. That's because he expressed solidarity with our hunger. So what's the practical implication of that? Folks, if our fasting is for its own sake, if our fasting is for us to feel good about ourselves, you know what, I was a good boy this Lent. I gave up meat on Fridays. Feel good. Right? If that's what our Lenten observances, then we have wasted our efforts. Instead, like Jesus, our fasting must be in solidarity with those who hunger, both body and soul, because that is what Jesus did. So I would like to draw your attention to our Lenten almsgiving project. You will find these little envelopes and this little sheet of paper, and we have chosen the children of Syria who have been made refugees or made orphans because of this awful war. And I'm hoping that our fasting will be in solidarity with these children who need our help. Who are these children? This image became one of the most iconic images of the war in Syria. This building that was bombed, his parents, I think, are both gone. And this child, completely dazed, was recovered from a building that was completely destroyed. Blood still on his face. These are the children that we're trying to express solidarity with. These are the children who we don't even know if they have their parents. They still find a reason to smile in the midst of that tremendous tragedy. Education of these children. They have not been to school in 2 years now. But Catholic Relief Services is trying to provide for the basic education of these. And the fact that they want to go to school and be somebody in society in the midst of all this rampage, it's got to speak to us. Are they any different, any of our kids? Who cares what religion they belong to? They are children. For us to experience our solidarity with these people, that is what our fasting should connect us to. And if it doesn't, I don't know what we gain from it. So we have the third contrast between the first reading and the gospel reading, and that is self versus God. The first man and woman put themselves and their need before God. Right? God told them, don't eat from this tree, but they did exactly the opposite. They were unable to transcend themselves. They were inward looking, they kept looking inwards. In contrast, in the desert, Jesus transcends himself in all the three temptations. By refusing to change stones into bread, by refusing to put God to the test, and by refusing the glamour of power and fame, Jesus submitted his will totally and unconditionally to God. But he did not just do this for 40 days. He was preparing for the ultimate temptation. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? If Jesus hadn't transcended himself in the desert, he most probably would also fail in the Garden of Gethsemane. If he didn't succeed in his daily life, he would fail on the cross as well. So really, his ability to transcend himself day in and day out finally ends up paying for our salvation. So folks, what's the practical implication? It's simply this, and today I am talking to you in this point because you are entering into the spirit of enlightenment and purification, my dear catechumens and candidates. Lent and Lenten observances are meant to make us a better people. Regain the image in which God created us. This whole idea of, please, do not learn this from Catholics. This whole idea of giving up something for Lent only to return to it with vengeance at Easter time, it's not a Catholic thing. That's not what we hope to do, okay? It's not a Catholic thing. So if you've given up beer, don't drive on Christmas Day, on Easter Day, right? You'll get a ticket, okay? So the idea of giving up things only to get back with them for vengeance for Easter is superfluous. That's not genuinely Catholic. Like Jesus, our 40 days in the desert is meant to reclaim the image in which God created us. Lent is meant to create a habit of solidarity with the poor for the rest of the year, for the rest of our lives. Lent is meant to help us transcend ourselves to genuine love of God and our neighbor. Lent is meant to make us holy for the rest of the year, indeed for the rest of our lives. So as you embrace these 40 days in preparation for your baptism and coming into the church, think about Lent as preparing you for what happens after Easter. Easter is not the end of the journey, it's the beginning of your Christian life. So as we celebrate this Eucharist, folks, let this Eucharist and the Eucharist every Sunday be a constant refuge for us, constant nourishment for us as we traverse through the desert. And let's not do this alone. Let's do this in solidarity with one another, especially the poor. People of God said, Amen.